Hare Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 1, Verse 5. Drishtaketushche kitana kashirajascha viryavan purujit kunti bhojascha shaibhyascha narapungava. So here, Duryodhana is continuing the description of the Kaurava forces. And he describes Drishtaketu. Drishtaketu was the son of Shishupal, the king of the Chedis. Now Shishupal was an anomaly in his dynasty. His dynasty was not demoniac. And that's why when he was born and his mother saw that actually he had some extra head and hands, and those heads and hands fell away when Krishna saw him. He saw Krishna. So his mother had known from a prophecy that the person on seeing whom Shishupal's heads and hands would fall away, extra heads and hands, that person would eventually kill Shishupal. So she had asked him for a benediction that please don't kill him even if he offends you. So Krishna said, I won't kill him even if he offends me up to 100 times. More than that, I will not tolerate. So now Shishupal went on a rampage of insults in the Rajasuya Yajna assembly when Krishna was chosen for being the recipient of Agra Puja, for being deemed the most worshipable person in that exalted assembly. And when he spoke, when Shishupal on that rampage lost track, lost count, and spoke more than 100 imprecations, then Krishna used Sudarshan Chakra to stop his offenses by beheading him, by doing a bloodless head surgery. Not a drop of blood spilled, and that's how the yajna was not defiled. Its sanctity was not lost, which would have happened if even a drop of blood had fallen over there. Now, is it that Krishna didn't want to be insulted? Is insult such a thing that you can kill another person for that? No, the point is not just the insult. The point is the mentality behind the insult, and the point is the demoniac nature of the person which is manifested through the speech. So Krishna saw all that, and based on that, and based on, despite giving him many opportunities to reform, to check himself, or to at least keep him within a civilized restraint, Shishupal did not accept any of those. So Krishna eventually decided to purify him of that sinful mentality by separating him from his sinful body. Now, his son Drishtaketu, eldest son, Shishupal had many sons, his eldest son Drishtaketu was subsequently enthroned as the king. Now, it may seem a little odd that Drishtaketu, the son of Shishupal, is fighting on the side of the Pandavas. But actually, as I said, Shishupal was an out of character person within their dynasty. The dynasty overall was virtuous. And even Shishupal, when prior to the war, prior to the Rajasuya Yajna, when the Pandavas went in different directions to conquer over the world so that all the world's emperors would come and offer tributes to Yudhishthir. So at that time, Shishupal welcomed the Pandava army and he said that I respect the Pandava Yudhishthir as a virtuous ruler and I'll come and I'll offer tribute. There is no need to fight. So Shishupal's animosity was towards Krishna, not the Pandavas. And that's why he came to the Pandava Rajasuya Yajna. But that animosity was fueled when the Pandavas had Krishna nominated as the person to receive the Agra Puja. So, however, after he was killed in Sandrishtaketu, of course, he was grief-struck when his father was killed like that. But he knew that it was the duty of any self-respecting man to not let so many insults in a public assembly go unchallenged. And it was Shishupal who had invited that death upon himself, and Krishna had actually tolerated it hugely and kept his word to his mother. So, Drishtaketu did not bear any resentment towards the Pandavas, although it was during the Pandava Rajyagya that his father had been killed, and he sided with the Pandavas. And Drishtaketu actually was one of the formidable commanders, and that's why here Duryodhana is mentioning him. And further, Drishtaketu should not be confused with Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna is not mentioned in this list explicitly by the name, but Tava Shishyena Drupadaputrena, that's how Duryodhana began his speech in the third verse, in the first verse that he spoke. So there he's mentioned. So Drishtadyumna is the son of Drupada, and he was the chief commander of the Pandava army. Drishtaketu is the son of Shishupal. Shishupal is dead, whereas Drupada, the father of Drishtadyumna, is still alive and is very much there on the battlefield. So Drishtadyumna fought gallantly on the side of the Pandavas, and Drishtaketu, we are discussing about him now, he fought gallantly on the side of the Pandavas. And eventually, he was killed by Drona in an extremely fierce battle. And slaying Drishtaketu was one of the heroic achievements of Drona, because Drishtaketu was not an easy opponent to slay. And then Chekitana is the son of Drishtadyumna. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually, both Krishna and Arjuna were nearly of the same age. So, Krishna was about more than 100 years old, and Arjuna was also more than 100 years old. So, Arjuna just... So there were not only sons grown up, but often means that generation was sufficiently grown up to also have sons who were grown up. So, and their grandsons were also grown up. Even Lakshmana was the son of Duryodhana, he was fighting, and he had sons also who were fighting. They were referred to as Pautran later on. When we come to the relevant verses, we will discuss that. So Chekitana was the son of Drishtaketu, and he was also a formidable warrior. In fact, Chekitana was one of the commanders of the Pandava army. Commanders means there were 7 Akshahunis on the side of the Pandavas, and he was the commander of one of the Akshahunis. So, there were, from the oldest generation, there were Drupada and Virat, who were commanders of one Akshahuni. Then, Bhima was the commander of one Akshahuni. That is in the main Pandava generation. Then, in that generation, there was Drishtadyumna also, who was a commander of one division. And he was also selected as the commander of, commander of the overall army. So, he was a commander of the whole army and a commander of one division also. And then after that, there were, from the next generation, there were, or from relatively younger people, actually, there was Shikhandi, who was also a brother of Drishtadyumna, and he was also the commander of one division. Then there was Satyaki, who was also of that same generation, but these are all relatively considered younger to the Pandavas. So, he was also a commander. We discussed about him. Yudhana, he was called. Also known by that name. And then there was Chekitana. So, and of course, one commander was Bhima. One division was headed by Bhima. So like that, Drupada, Virata, Drishtadyumna, Satyaki, Chekitana, Shikhandi, and Bhima. So Chekitana was also a formidable commander, and he actually fought valiantly on the side of the Pandavas. And Duryodhana, on the last day of the battle, killed him as a final desperate act of heroism. Duryodhana was devastated and practically defeated in spirit when on the 17th day Karna fell. But still, he came back to battle on the 18th day, and as he saw his remaining forces falling, he saw Shalya falling, then he saw Shakuni falling. He practically fled, seeing his troops being routed and his commanders, his few remaining commanders being killed. So one of the heroic things, practically very few warriors Duryodhana himself killed. So he killed Chekitana. Then, so the father and son both gave up their lives for the Pandavas on the war field. And the relationship with the between the Pandavas and the Chedis were relatively cordial. Drishtaketu also had a daughter named Karenumati, who was married to Nakula. He had a sister, Karenumati, who was married to Nakula. They were in the same generation. And now, Chekitana, Kashi Rajascha Viryavan. Viryavan is one who is filled with virya. Bhagyavan is one who is very fortunate. Dhanavan is one who is possessor of dhana. So Viryavan is one who is the possessor of virya, of great strength. Kashi Raja. Now, sometimes some kingdoms were more famous than their specific kings who were there. And just being the king of that kingdom was itself considered famous. So Kashi is a sacred place, and to be the king of that place is also considered a great fortune of the kingdom surrounding that place also. So the king is sometimes known by the personal name, or the king may be known by the common name. Common name is the name of the particular area to which he belongs, or to on which over which he is ruling. So Kashiraj is not described much further in the Mahabharata, but the fact that a person will be the king of a influential and important kingdom like Kashi is itself significant, and that also is a matter of concern for Duryodhana. There is a Kashi Raj who is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, who was inimical to Balramji, and his mouth was smashed by Balramji. So here there is a Kashi Raj who is fighting on the side of the Pandavas. Purujit Kunti Bhojascha. Purujit. Again, not much is described or Purujit by the commentators, but the name suggests that Purujit. Puru often refers to the kingdom. So Purujit, one who has conquered a kingdom, so one who is the ruler of a kingdom. Kunti Bhoja. So there was a, we know the word Kunti as the name of the mother of the three elder Pandavas. Of course, she is often considered the mother of all the Pandavas because she took care of all of them after Madri, who was the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, passed away in their childhood. So, but that is what we identify the word Kunti with Queen Kunti. But Kunti was also a kingdom, and it was a kingdom ruled by the Bhoja dynasty. So the Bhoja who ruled the kingdom Kunti came to be celebrated as Kunti Bhoja. So names often in the Vedic culture were fluid. One person would have sometimes many names, and one particular name would sometimes become prominent. So Kunti Bhoja was the ruler of the kingdom of Kunti, and he was a close friend of Shurasen, who was the father of Vasudev, who was the father of Krishna. Now, Kunti Bhoj, despite having a flourishing kingdom, somehow could not get a child. And so Shurasen, out of his affection for his friend, gave him his own daughter. Now this daughter had for the birth name Spruta, but when she came to the kingdom of Kunti Bhoj, and at the request, at the instruction of her father, she accepted Kunti Bhoj as her father for all practical purposes. But then, whenever anyone would call her Prutha, then that itself would bring out, because that name was given by her birth father Vasudev, so that would remind her and remind others of her birth father, and that would sort of act against, minimize sort of, or remind everyone that Kunti Bhoj is not her actual father. And Kunti was so sensitive and she was so respectful to her adoptive father Kunti Bhoj that she said that this name which reminds everyone of my birth father, let me put aside this name and let me adopt a name that will reinforce my connection with you, because you are taking care of me, you are my father now. So she came to be known as Kunti, and that's how she reinforced her connection with Kunti Bhoj. So Kunti Bhoj was also a formidable warrior who fought on the side of the Pandavas, and he was the he was the father of Kunti, adoptive father, but for all practical purposes he is considered to be the father, and Kunti also accepted her as her actual father for all practical purposes by adopting that name. Just like when we take initiation, so we adopt a new name to indicate that our relationship with our spiritual father, our spiritual master who is akin to our spiritual father, that has a significant importance. You know, one of the most primary privileges of a parent is naming a child. You know, giving an identity to a person. Of course, the soul has its own identity, but in this world, we are not known as souls. We are known through our bodies. So giving a person an identity is one of the most deepest, closest acts of intimacy, of relationship between two people. So that is the act which the parents do for their children, and similarly that's the act that the spiritual master does for the disciples. So by now, because Prutha already had a name, she didn't have to do that, but she did that to make her bond with her father more intimate. Kunti Bhojascha. And then Shaibhyascha Narapungava. Shaibhyascha. Shaibhya is also one of the kings. Now Shaibhya, the name was quite common. In fact, one of the Ashtabharyas of Krishna, one of the six queens of Krishna, was Mitravinda. And her name was also Shaibhya. And Shaibhya basically refers to, Kaunteya refers to a son of Kunti. Similarly, Shaibhya refers to a son or descendant of Shivi. Now, we know Shivi was a famous king who sacrificed for others, and he celebrated in the Bhagavatam also. So Shaibhya was also a commander who was fighting on the side of the Pandavas. So this Shaibhya, of course, is a male. He is different from Mitravinda, who also had the name of Shaibhya. Sometimes some names are not gender specific, and those names can be used by males as well as females. Anarapungava. Oh, they are all leaders among men. Now, Pungava can mean most eminent among. That's how it's normally translated. But literal translation of the word Pungava is bull. Oh, bull among men. Now, in today's culture, in the Western culture especially, bull is not considered to be anything very respectable. In fact, when people want to use a foul word when they are upset about something, they use bull and S star star star. So they consider bull not to be a respectable animal. But cows and bulls are in the same family of animals, and just as cows are considered are seen with a reverential attitude. Similarly, bulls are also considered with quite a respectful attitude. In fact, bulls are decorated and celebrated in the traditional culture. And just as a lion is considered to be the strongest of animals among the wild animals, lions, elephants, tigers, like that. So among the domesticated animals, bull is celebrated as extremely strong. In fact, a bull also is a formidable animal. Bullfights were often quite popular spectator sports. And bull riders, rodeos, that's quite a dangerous sport because bulls can run so fast and they have horns and they can throw off riders. So bull riding is considered quite a difficult and dangerous sport because bulls have so much strength. So for a king to be compared to a bull is not in any way minimizing as it might seem to the modern mind. So the bull, we called a bull among men, is just the bull, the leader among the domestic animals. That means that one is being referred to in laudatory terms as the best among all men. So these are all, this is an adjective which is used for Narapungava. They're all eminent leaders. So Duryodhana, in this way, speaks about the formidable warriors on the side of the Kaurava, on the side of the Pandavas, so as to alert Drona and alert his forces to fight cautiously and fiercely, knowing the strength of their opponents. In the next verse, he will continue his outlining of the Pandava forces, and we will discuss that in our next talk. Thank you.